Hello, everyone. Ooh, fixing to sneeze, y'all. Hang on 1 second. Oh, like the second I hit live, I felt that one coming. Good morning. This is Basics 2.0. Probably going to have to sneeze again. Y'all going to have to bear with me while I get settled. If you're wondering why I look so glamorous today, it is because coming off of camp weekend, last night was the first night that I slept solid, and I slept almost 12 straight hours. So I decided this morning when I got up, I had two choices. And this is what I talked to you guys a lot about during the basics. So much of the basics is about just committing to the process, even on the days that you don't feel like it. And one of the things that I teach is I want you guys to always have what's called that doable foundation. So that on the days you don't want to do something, it is super easy to, let me put it like this. It's easy to say yes because you don't have so much bullshit roadblocks above you that you've got to basically scale an 18-foot wall. I want us always to be thinking about every step of the way when it comes to weight loss. We want to be just stepping over a speed bump. And then eventually it becomes like a low-lying curb. And then it becomes like maybe like we're going to go up two steps at a time versus one step at a time. So as you get stronger and stronger in your doable foundation, the amount of hurdle you're willing to step over gets a little bit more challenging because you've built up resiliency, commitment, follow through. You know how to gut check your excuses, all of that. There's so many skills that you need to learn to lose weight, like commitment and follow through and planning, doing it when you dread it, when you don't want to and stuff, that the smaller the obstacle in front of you is, the easier it is to be able to exercise those things. As those skills get stronger and stronger and stronger, then you're able to put bigger and bigger obstacles in front of you because you're proving to yourself that you can do it. And this is just really important for me personally this morning. So I've, you know, come off camp on, I started last Wednesday at the hotel. I had a full work day with meetings all day up until 4 p.m. Wednesday, drove straight to the hotel, went straight to dinner with Kathy and my mom where we talk business. The next day I had a full team meeting all day long. Then we had sound check until about 6 or 7 o'clock at night. Then I turn around on Friday, full photo shoot in the morning. Everybody was getting makeup done. I had to be there another at 6:30 in the morning, full photo shoot before we even start camp. But we didn't even, like, I hadn't even stepped on stage yet to do jack shit. Then I'm on, y'all know when it's camp weekend, I'm on stage. I'm doing the thing, early call, late to bed stuff, all that. Monday had a full team meeting. Yesterday I had only 4 lives to do. I had women of color coaching, y'all's coaching. I had a 10 o'clock business coaching for another membership. And then I had my usual basics 2.0 in the morning. Today is the first day that all I have is y'all, and the rest of the day is mine. So Monday, I did not do anything. Monday, I decided that was a really good day to just rest. Tuesday, I decided it was a really good day to walk. I knew that I could make myself go outside and walk for about a half an hour, nice and slow. Today, I amped it up just a little bit. I still was feeling tired, even after 12 hours of sleep. It took a mile of walking. I had agreed with myself, when you go out, we're going to be outside. We're going to work for an hour, but that hour is whatever you want to make it. So we're going to go by how you feel. This is me setting it up to where the hurdles are easy to overcome. If you want to walk slowly and call your mama, talk to Jane, you get to do that. So I did a mile. Then I decided I could run 1 minute, walk 1 minute for the last mile. And while I was doing that, I was like, okay, do you want to lift some weights when you get home? Or do you want to do some stretching? What would you like to do? And I decided I'd like to lift weights for 20 minutes. I did all of that in 1 hour. But it wasn't, it was literally because at first I was dreading it. I was willing to go out. I was willing to do what I said I would do and manage my mind the whole time. The reason why I can do that is because from the first day that I started losing weight, day 1, where I was like, all right, getting off the couch today. I went for a 15-minute walk. I knew that I could do 15-minute walks daily and that that was going to be part of the version of me at the end of the rainbow. I was coaching someone on this last night, and this is really important for you guys to remember as we're talking about Basics 2.0. You know, the stuff you're going to do right now, it won't be exactly like the version of you at the end. When I first started, I knew in my heart I wanted to be an exerciser and an athlete. It meant everything to me to become that person. I had never played sports. I had been sat out so many times. My brother played sports. I just had this dream that that was who I was going to be. Not everybody's dream is that, but it was mine. And I had all the doubts. I mean, I'd never done shit. So I knew that if I was going to become an exerciser, if I was going to do something, like, I had to learn a lot of shit. I had to learn all of it. So when I knew I wanted to end up being an athlete or an exerciser who ran races and stuff, that meant on day one, I had to be someone that knew that a 15-minute walk counts. A lot of you, when it comes to the basics, think that unless you're doing it perfectly or all out, that it doesn't count. You're sitting around thinking about who you should be 90 days from now, 300 days from now, 5 years from now, and you're trying to start there. You want to know who you want to be in some form or fashion. You don't have to know every ounce or detail, but you do want to understand it. And then you want to come all the way back to today and say, where's the doable foundation for that? What does that look like on day one? And do not compare your day one to your day 301. And then as you go through your journey, it's always going to look different. Like if I had decided that today, let's take yesterday as a good example. When I went out walking, I remember telling Jane, I said, I literally feel like my legs have cement blocks in them and I'm dragging them along for a neighborhood walk. Like my heart rate was even rising. I had my Fitbit on. It was showing me that I would, like, my heart rate was going up super fast because my body was tired. If I compared yesterday to my best day 3 weeks ago or to where I might be in 3 weeks from now, I would never go out on those walks. If all I did was sit there and think about how it was not good enough and stuff, I would come home. I wouldn't do things. Why would I step into something where it's just going to be me berating myself? I wouldn't do it. And I encourage all of you to think about that. Now, we're actually going to start the Doable Foundation worksheet. So, number one, tag your friends. So, week one, we had about 1,100 people showing up every single day live. Week two, we had about 700 and something people showing up live. Week three, we have 485 people showing up live. Now, if you're listening to the replay, you don't have to tell me that you're working. I know that there are people listening to these things on the replays. I get that. Here's what I also know. When the numbers are dropping off dramatically like that, which usually happens, it's not because we're suddenly busy. It's because week one, we made time for things and we were excited and we were gung-ho. Week two, our perfectionists started falling off the wagon. So that's where they were just like, peace out. Like, I didn't do everything right the first week. Like, I didn't watch every video and I didn't, like, respond to everything and blah, blah, blah. So all my perfectionists have been weeding themselves out, which you can always come back. Week three, this is where the people who are relying on high excitement and motivation to go start dropping out. Their mind shift changes. We start thinking, oh, I'll catch it later. There's more important things. I wonder what we're doing next month. If you're an excitement or adrenaline junkie and you're dropping out in week three and wondering what we're going to do next month, come back. This is where you learn to quit relying on excitement and adrenaline to do things. You've got to practice commitment more than you've got to be excited to do something. And that is for all of you. A lot of you need to practice, like, what does commitment and willingness look like for me? What do I think when I'm willing? What do I think about when I'm committed? What do I think about when I'm showing up, even when I don't want to, even when I have excuses and justifications, reasons? So this is really important for you guys. We're not going to take our foot off the gas just because you haven't watched every video or every little thing I've told you to do didn't work right. Maybe you skipped some stuff. I don't give a fuck what it is. Finish the damn month. Jump back in exactly where we're at. It is not like I am covering breaking ground news every single day that if you missed yesterday, there's no way I could do today. I say the same shit every single day to y'all, just in talking about a different topic. But it's always the same stuff. So you will learn. So tag your buddies, rattle the cages, tell them accountability groups, those ones that have ghosted you, text their asses, say, Corinne told me to text your ass. She said, you may be laying low in your shame shawl, not doing it right. We don't want one-hit wonders around here. Don't be just showing up for your accountability groups on your highlight day. I want you all to think, those of you who do this, I want you to think about the message that you're sending to your accountability partners. When you only show up when you're doing it right and you lay low when it's going wrong, it creates an image in your accountability partners where they never see anything go wrong except their own shit. It's no better than just going to Instagram and only posting everything amazing about your life and never anything that goes wrong. Do not condition other people to only see your highlight reels. You never know when they're feeling like shit because of it. And it's no good for you. When you only reach out in your moments when it's working, you're reaching out at the wrong time. When would you need to reach out? When you have an obstacle. And if the only thing standing in your way is shame, everyone repeat after me. Shame is no longer a good enough excuse to stay stuck. Take your shame-filled ass and say, like, I'm feeling all kinds of shame. Now that I've got that bullshit out of the way, here's where I need some help. Shame is not debilitating. Shame is your excuse. So stop doing that. All right. So we're going to talk about the doable foundation for eating out. Let me pull up my notes for today. They're over here. Sorry. They're on the wrong screen. And let me put my glasses on. That will help us all. Because if Karen don't have her glasses on, she can't see shit. All right. So the goal of this worksheet is really simple. What we want to do is we want to get to the point to where you guys are never saying ever again, I don't know what to eat because I don't know where we're going out. Number one, bullshit. I could go blindfolded. I'm always watching these CIA shows and stuff. You could put the black sack over my head, take me to a restaurant, drop me in a chair and present a menu, and I could figure out what I'm going to eat. Period. We have to quit thinking, I don't know what I'm going to have because I don't know where I'm going. That just leads to confusion. Period. No one is going to lose weight living in the land of confusion all the time. If you don't know where you're going out to eat, you just tell yourself, I'm smart enough to figure out something that works for me. I'm willing to figure out something that works for me. I bet you there's something on this menu that will work for me. I'm sure that if I pay attention, I can stop it enough. Those are thoughts. You guys, stop arguing that you don't know where you're going. It is a thought that doesn't help you. And a lot of you don't realize it's just a thought. You're like, no, it's true. I don't know where I'm going. Yeah, but if a sentence has a feeling attached to it, it is no longer a fact. You know what the fact is? Going out to eat. Your thought is, I don't know where I'm going. When somebody tells me the fact of going out to eat, I think I can handle it. That's how we know it's a thought. So we want to make sure that we're changing our mind, because you are always bringing your stomach, your mouth, and your brain with you when you go out to eat. And nobody leaving any of those at home, or you're not going to live. So you always have the three tools you need in order to go out to eat and make it a success. So there are three stages that we're going to practice. We're going to talk about planning, and that's on the worksheet. It's on page 40 of your Basics 2.0 resource guide. Guys, it's all in the website under Weight Loss Resources. The Basics 2.0 resource guide is sitting right there for you. So first of all, it's going to be all the decisions ahead of time, the beforehand decisions. So for me in particular, last night I actually did a coaching call. It's the, what is today's date? May 19th. If you look up the May 18th coaching call, there was, I don't know which caller it was, but there was somebody on there where I actually walked through my drinking protocols for vacation. I went through and like talked about like different, like the rules that I come up with. So for all of you, I have what I call dining out rules, and I love them. Now, my mindset around rules is this. These are Corinne's rules that she picked so that going out to eat would be super simple. Like, I talk about them that way. I don't talk about them like these are the only things I can have. I created my rules because I can't control my fucking mouth when I sit down. That is not how I think about my rules. If you're thinking about your rules that way, guess what? You're going to feel like an asshole. You're going to feel deprived, restricted, and you'll want to rebel against your own rules. The way that I think about my rules is I try to make as many decisions ahead of time so I can really enjoy my experience. So that when I go, I get to eat foods I love, but I don't have to sit there and negotiate and decide and look around and figure out what everybody else is eating. I don't like drama. I try to live a drama-free life. And one of the ways that I lead a drama-free life is by creating very doable rules for me. So some of the things that I do, like number one is always, if we're going out to eat, first thing is, am I going to drink or not? Because if I'm having alcohol, I have a whole set of like different rules that I apply when I have alcohol. If I'm not having alcohol, I have a whole nother set of rules that I apply. So the global rules are, I do not eat out of bread baskets. So if a restaurant brings you snackies or popcorn or whatever they like to bring that's like free, like I always think about this, no food is free. It all has a cost. It may be at the cost of me completely enjoying all the food I would like to eat by eating too much of that shit beforehand. It's at the cost of my goals. Like, so I don't ever sit there and think it's free. I don't think anything's free. I'm always like, what's the emotional cost here? What is the dreams and goals cost here? I'm always thinking about how like things always cost something so that I'm always like, am I willing to buy this? So I don't eat bread baskets. I don't eat snacky snacks and that kind of stuff. I just don't do that. I've always agreed with myself when I first started losing weight that when I go out to eat, there are things I want to delight and enjoy in, and I don't want anything standing in the way of that. So a lot of times for me, it's like the bread baskets. I rarely eat chips out of the chip basket at if we go out for Mexican food. A lot of times I try to wait, and what I do is I will like get my food, and if I want chips, I wait until my meal comes, and then I get some chips to have with my meal. So a lot of times I get fajitas when we go out. And I don't like the little tortilla wraps. I never have, even back in the day when I had all the weight to lose, I still didn't eat tortilla wraps. I never was a burrito fan. And so I will wait for that to come, and then I will get a few chips, and I will use it to, like if they have refried beans or guacamole on there, I'll use that then. So I'm always thinking about like, how am I going to best enjoy my meal? The only other thing that, big rule that I have is, I rarely will eat appetizers. Now, if we go somewhere and it is a, like if it's known for some kind of special appetizer that I can't just get anywhere, like I'm not going to go to Outback and get appetizers. I mean, I've had plenty of Bloomin' Onions to save my life. But if I'm going to go like to Vegas and they're going to have something that like beef tartare or something that like I can't just roll up in my neighborhood bar and get that's really special, I will prioritize and have something like that. But the majority of the time, appetizers are out for me. For me, my rules are always around I love my entree and I love desserts. So if I'm going to have something, it would be more on that side. Now, if I'm drinking, I don't eat desserts. If I'm drinking, it is a solid entree that I'm going to love. If I'm not drinking, majority of the time, it's an entree that I'm going to like with possibly a couple of less substitutions. So like sometimes if, let's say we went out and back in the day, one of my favorite things was to go to Ruby Tuesday and I loved their Blondie. So if we were going to go and I wasn't drinking, I would probably have a hamburger with no bun and I would get a baked potato instead of French fries. And then I would get dessert or I would get the salad bar or something along those lines, knowing that dessert was going to be like the number one priority. So I always just try to think about things in those ways. Now, if we're just in general, we have no clue where we're going. I don't know what's on the menu or anything. I always decide if I'm going to drink or not. I always know I'm not going to have the bread basket. I can always decide I'm not having appetizers, that I'm going to have an entree. And I always just tell myself, we're going to look for these kinds of things. I know the kinds of foods that I like. So like I will have like a burger protocol. If I'm going to have a burger, I usually always will say like, I would rather have a burger with no bun and have French fries because I like French fries way more than I like buns. I just do. And I don't need the bun. Like, I don't need the bun to top off my experience. I never have, but that's my taste. If I'm going to be having pasta, a lot of times I'll ask them if they have like a side, like sides of steamed vegetables or something, I'll say, I want such and such pasta. I want half pasta. Can you toss the rest in vegetables so that I'm getting some vegetables in the mix? I used to do that all the time. If I'm getting a steak, I always tell them, don't worry about putting butter on top of my steak. Guys, I'll just give you like a hint. Most steaks are pretty fucking good. They don't need a dollop of butter on top of them to top off the experience. And the majority of the reason why restaurants will put butter or something on top of your steak is because it's going to sit in the window before it gets to you. And it will look prettier and wetter and juicier if it has butter on top. They're not really doing that for a lot of the flavor. Especially like mid-tier restaurants and below. They're doing it because they run the risk of it looking like it's dry and they don't want it to look dry. So, you know, like don't be wasting your time on some bullshit. I like salads. I always know I love salads. I'll always have grilled chicken over fried. I just don't like fried chicken. I love fried chicken livers, but that's a whole nother story. I rarely do croutons. And guys, this is not because Corinne has a bread phobia. I just never was a big bread eater. Even back in the day when I was a kid, I was not a big bread eater. I never liked sandwiches. We had to eat sandwiches and I hated sandwiches. Now, I love me some Subway. I will eat Subway all day long with some bread. Like if I'm going to have bread, I know y'all will think this is crazy. I would rather go to Subway and get a foot long veggie with mayonnaise and cheese than to go to a fine restaurant and have some bread out of their basket. But that's me. But that's me knowing what I like to have. So like with salads, I won't waste my time with croutons and shit. So I make all of these like, somebody said my one experience of Ruth's Chris is, and that steak had a half a stick of butter on top. I know, like, I don't do that. So there are lots of stuff that you can do for making just what I would call decisive decisions. It's not, and this is the thing that I want you guys to understand. Sometimes you guys will hear me say no bread, no croutons or whatever. And you'll be like, isn't that diet mentality? No. We are going to be changing the term diet mentality to diet thinking. Diet thinking is I can't eat bread. Diet thinking is I shouldn't have this. Diet thinking is about the thoughts that you use. These are the only things I can have. I can't lose weight unless I do these things. That's diet thinking. Corinne isn't doing diet thinking. Corinne is like making the best choices for herself. These are the things I like. These are the things I can do without. These are the things that when I don't have them, my quality of life is not suffering. I don't think about it in that way. I think about this is an amazing way that I have set myself up to be able to go out to eat at the drop of a dime and be able to take care of myself like the fucking boss I am. That is my thinking. That's no BS woman thinking. And when we're going to be talking about like in the coming weeks, there's going to be diet thinking and there's no BS woman thinking. A no BS woman does not sit around and think about what she can't have, what she can't do, what's going to be hard, what's going to be unfair, what she shouldn't be doing. Like that's diet thinking. And we are going to break those bad habits in you like you wouldn't believe. So that's the decisions ahead of time. Like I do a lot of asking ahead of time too when I go out to eat. If I know I'm going to order something that I might run the risk of like wanting to just keep on eating, I will tell a server, hey, do me a favor. Put half of it in a box and then bring me the other half and do me another favor. Don't let the kitchen overserve me because they think I'll be happy with a bigger serving. I really want a half a serving. That's what I want. I tell them this stuff because some restaurants, you know, are like, they'll know us and they'll want to give me an extra. Sometimes when I go to the bar, they want to give me a heavy pour and I'll just tell them, hey, no heavy pours. I really want what you would normally pour because I'm only having three glasses today. I don't want technically five because you've been pouring like a son of a bitch. So you ask for what you need in advance. Now, the next thing is, so that is like our prep work. And we do our prep work this way. You do the worksheets. If you like, when I do my weekly planning, like a lot of times I like to look out at my week. I like to see where I'm going out to eat, all that kind of stuff. On Sunday, as I'm assessing and like thinking about my week, I look out and I write, here's the ways that I want to show up for going out to eat this week. I know we might be going to these places, or I don't know if we're going. I'm going on vacation next week. I have no idea what we'll be eating all week long. We are not planning this ahead of time. There's only one place I know I'm going, Diablo's. I will be at Diablo's at some point eating some nachos. Everything else, I have no idea. We might eat by the pool. We might order room service. We might try a new restaurant. We're going with friends. I'm not going to sit here and try to overly plan my whole week. Now, if my friend messages me and says, hey, we want to try this restaurant, I probably will look up the menu ahead of time and go ahead and decide what I'm going to have. So that I'm making my decision when I'm not sitting there, maybe after a glass of wine or two, trying to make my decision. I may do those things. But the goal is to figure out just what you can ahead of time. Now, let's talk about what to keep in mind while you're sitting there. And guys, as I'm doing this, take notes on your sheet. You will hear ideas from me. Put them on your sheet. Write down things that you're like, ooh, that's a good idea. I would never have thought of it that way. I would have never said these things to myself. You need to be writing these things down. Don't be just sitting there listening, drinking water, and having a good time. Actually be applying. So while you go out to eat, the goal is to make it as easy as possible. That's why I will tell the waiter while I'm there, like, a lot of times when we go to the bar, I will tell the server, like our bartender, I'll say, all right, tonight I'm just having two glasses. So when I ask for the third one, because I know Corinne, your job is to cut me off. And they'll look at me kind of funny. And I'm like, no, seriously, your job is to say you only planned for two. I'm not going to give you another one because I want them to have my back. And I just tell them, look, we're more willing to keep coming back and ask for you if you just do the things that we say. So, and they're happy to oblige most of the time. It's rare that I meet someone that's not. So the other thing that I like to do is I do like the kitchen to cut my portions in half at times. That's always really, really helpful for me. Often when I'm going out to eat, I will tell Chris what I'm going to eat. Like don't offer me a bite. Like I'll say, hey, you know, if you have any leftovers, get the server to take it fast so that I'm not sitting there staring at it and uncomfortable. I know my tendencies. My tendencies are, if Logan or Chris doesn't finish their meal, is to sit there and think about how good that would taste. I should just have a bite. Blah, 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 blah. Like, my chatter always starts. Seeing those plates is where my chatter triggers. And so for me, it's a lot easier to say beforehand, hey, when you think you're done eating, go ahead and flag the server. Have her take your food away so that, like, we're not sitting there. Like, I'm not sitting there looking at it and wanting to just clean up scraps. I do the same thing with Logan. I tell Logan all the time, because Logan is our slowest. He's the slowest eater in the family. And I will tell him, baby, when you think you're actually done eating, let mama know. I will get a box so we can wrap it up for you to take home. Otherwise, what he does is he'll sit there for 2 hours with his food in front of him, just talking, taking a bite here and there. And then I'm sitting there getting distracted, staring at his food. Now, guys, of course we could manage our mind. We could be sitting there and switching our thoughts and doing all that stuff. But I'm like, I'm already really good at managing my mind. I don't need any extra practice. So here's what I do. I manage the situation ahead of time. I don't need to keep practicing in that area. I'm good with that. And I also know, here comes my chatter. It's normal. It's natural. It's probably never going away. So I can either sit there and manage my mind, or I can manage my situation. So I just do it a little bit ahead of time. Now the third stage is the things to do after you get home. What we want to do here is we want to make sure that we have, like, data wins. This means what went right. So for those of you, like, when it comes to working on your thoughts, when it comes to eating out, you do not have to do this every single time in the moment you get home. But for a lot of us, eating out is really where we kind of go downhill, and we're getting ready to get back out into the world a lot. So I would try to figure out, either the day after or when you get home, when you're done eating out, assess the situation. Take 3 or 4 minutes, open up your planner, go to the back where the journaling pages are, and just be like, how did it go? What worked? What didn't? What could I do different next time? Go ahead and do all of that and overemphasize what worked. And then dig in and don't judge what didn't. Just note it, finesse it, and then kind of come up with it. So next time, here's what I'm going to do, and write about that so that you're really figuring out how to solve this. This is only for the people who are like, Corinne, I do pretty well unless it's going out to eat. And that's where I tend to, like, ram my head into the wall over and over and over again. And then think about, like, what I think is also really important is making sure that when you get home, it's not, I want you all to really remember this. It is not the situation that doesn't make something work. So it's not the food on the table. It's not what people said. It's not that it's going out to eat. It's not that you didn't know where you were going. What thinking didn't work? Really listen to that part. What thinking isn't working around going out to eat? Because if you're not successful with going out to eat, it's never because of the food. It's never because you went out to eat. It's never because plans changed. It's never because you didn't know where you were going. All of that is just something that happened where you applied a thought to it, like, I can't handle this, or I don't know what to eat. This is too hard. I deserve to eat something. Whatever the thinking is, be very mindful of what that is so that you're not just always trying new tactics. You're applying new thinking to the new tactics. Because if you think it's going to be really hard, and you're going to, like, say, okay, Corinne said she never eats at a bread basket, so that's what I'm going to do. And you are going to not eat at bread baskets thinking that's going to be hard. It's not going to work. You might not eat the bread, but you're going to sit there and stare at it.
You're going to sit there and wish you had some. You're going to sit there and think it's unfair. You're going to sit there and say things like, see, I can't eat the things I want. When I say I'm not going to eat the bread basket, it's coming from a thought of that bread is never worth it to me. I'm not hardly going to notice bread when it comes to the table because of that. I might notice it. I might wonder what it tastes like, but I don't dwell on it. There's no self-loathing going on around it because I haven't set myself up to think about it that way. So it's really important for you to really realize that if something does work or something doesn't work, the thinking behind it is what drives it working or not working. It's never because of the situations. And we're going to talk a lot about that in the coming weeks, about the difference between your thinking and what you're blaming. All right. The call to action today is to make sure that you do this worksheet and that you review it. And a hot tip is when you create this worksheet, take a picture of it and have it on your phone. If you want, when you come up with like, here's all the things that I do when it comes to going out to eat. And here's all the things I've chosen not to do when it comes out to eat. Here's all my decisions and like my own personal set of guidelines and rules that work for me. Put it in the notes app of your phone so that if you're waiting in line, if you go to the bathroom or whatever, you can look at it and get a quick little refresher. Keep a section in your notes app that's like thoughts that work for me when dining out. Like think about all of the, if it's eating out, if it's at a party at someone's house, whatever it is, have in your notes app thoughts that work for me or thoughts I want to remember when I'm eating out, when I'm traveling on the road, when I'm doing these things, and review those things. Have your thoughts that work. Have some of your protocols, some of your rules, some of the things that you're going to do and some of the things that you don't do. Review those things. That's part of the practice and application of all of this. All right. That's it. Guys, there are places that do bread baskets. Let me just tell you. I was at a restaurant not too long ago where they plopped down a bread basket right in front of me. I know that we all think that, like, I will tell you. You were talking about something else. I was going to say, I think that they've already put all that stuff back out on the tables for community grabbing. So there we go. Okay, that's it for today. You guys have a great one. Get your worksheets done. Talk about it. Post it in the Facebook group. We will make sure this gets loaded to the Private Member Podcast. We'll also make sure that it is listed in the video replays. So it will be everywhere that you need it so that you can watch it. Tag your friends. Make sure your friends are watching. Make sure that they are not forgetting that Basics 2.0 is happening. All right, guys. Have a good one. Bye, y'all.